We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So it is tax season, and every year the IRS releases a list of the dirty dozen tax scams, as they call it, to watch out for. And joining us is Assistant Special Agent in Charge of the IRS New York Field Office, Will Chung. Will, thanks for joining us, and I guess let's start about some of these common tax scams to look out for. Among them this year, phone scams, phishing schemes, identity theft, fake charities, and false income. Let's take one at a time. We have phone scams, which I guess are the most common. People get calls from the IRS, and they're fearful that they could be thrown in jail for some reason. But you don't call people, right?
Well, the thing is, we do call people, but we will never threaten somebody, and we will never demand payment. So how these scams work is you get an unsolicited call from a person purporting to be an IRS official, and they demand money, and they want you to pay them right away, and they have this sense of urgency to get you to pay, and they also threaten you with arrest and possibly deportation or suspension of your driver's license. Right? The IRS will never do that. So there are some circumstances where IRS will call you, but we will never do those other items I talked about.
Now, what about emails? People get junk emails all the time. So will the IRS ever email somebody?
No. Our first contact will usually be by IRS notice. So it will be sent to your mailing address that you have on file with the IRS.
Now, let's say someone has a mistake on their return, which I would think would be easily fixable. You can certainly help them walk them through it. They should call you, right? They shouldn't be responding to a phone call from someone, because they could just change the phone number on the caller ID and make it look like it's coming from the IRS, correct?
Yes, that's very common. They're able to manipulate the caller ID to show that it's either coming from a Washington, D.C. number or one of our numbers here at the IRS. So it will be like a 212-436 number, which is our number here. But they can spoof that number. They're getting a lot of these scammers are very tech savvy, so they're able to do this and to make it look like it's really coming from the IRS. But again, be wary of these phone calls that you're getting. I mean, most people know, but you know, even though most people know, there are a percentage of people who don't know. For example, since October 2013, there's been 12,716 victims that paid over $63 million as a result of these scams.
Wow. And now, one of the other common scams includes people posing as charities and taking advantage of the fact that people may want a tax deduction based on giving to a charity. You say never to give out personal information, especially over the phone. People say, hey, we're a charity, and you get a tax deduction by donating to us.
Yeah, there is a list of charities that we recognize. I would say it's probably a good practice not to give donations to somebody who calls you over the phone. I mean, there may be charities that are going to solicit you over the phone, but I would not give it over to them over the phone. I mean, if you are interested in donating that charity, so first thing you should do is probably look them up and see if they are a official 501(c) charity. And if they are, then if you want to donate, you can donate through maybe their website. I wouldn't give out any money over the phone. there's too many people trying to take advantage of maybe like elderly or somebody who wants to do the right thing. But over the phone, it's just too common right now, so I wouldn't do it over the phone.
We're talking to Will Chung at the IRS New York field office. Will, identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in the U.S. And the Internal Revenue Service says that you've made significant progress combating tax return identity theft, but still a big enough problem to be on this this list. So tell me about what people are doing to take advantage of people's tax returns this time of year to steal their identity.
Well, right now, because there's so much information out there and there's so many data breaches, people are selling your information, like your Social Security number, on the dark web. So people can get your Social Security number and then file a tax return, and they would often do it early in the filing season. So when you actually go to file your actual return, that's when you find out somebody already filed a return in your name when your return gets rejected because there's already been a return filed. So like you said, this is still a big problem for us here at the IRS, but it's not as big a problem as it was back in 2015, where there was 677,000 reports of identity theft. And then in 2016, it went down to 400,000. And now in 2017, it's 242,000. But that's still affecting a lot of people. So my advice is really you have to be careful how you store your personal information. Like, for example, you shouldn't carry your Social Security card in your wallet. You have to treat your Social Security number like it was cash, because that's exactly what it is for somebody who gets their hands on your Social Security number, because they could sell it for cash and they could try to open credit cards under your name. They could file a tax return under your name and get a refund. So, you know, we've been letting the public know about this problem for a long time, but people still get caught up in like phishing type emails. They might not update their firewalls or the antivirus software. So things like that. And people need to recognize these phishing emails. So if you get an email and you don't know where the email is coming from, don't click on any attachments or click on the links. You should just delete that email.
Right. And, you know, these identity theft, you know, in general, seems to be growing because of the internet, more outlets out there where people are voluntarily putting their information on social media. So how do you warn people when all your information could be searchable, you could find out someone's address, probably easier to steal someone's identity now than ever? How do you combat against it? Do you recommend a LifeLock or a service like that? And if, God forbid, someone's identity is stolen, can you work with people so that they can get their identity back?
Yes. Well, I think people have to realize certain information is very valuable to the criminal. And one of the most important pieces of information that you should keep secure is your Social Security number and your date of birth. Right? I mean, if they get those two items, they have so much information on you, and they can go through social media. So let's say you like to post on social media. They could get your address, where you're posting from, where you like to visit. So, you know, I would just be careful mainly with those two items, your Social Security number and your date of birth. As far as one of these companies like LifeLock, you know, it depends on the individual person. So if you feel like identity theft might be a problem, that might be something you want to do. But for me personally, I don't have LifeLock, but I do take advantage of some items. Like I would check my credit report, right? So they give you a free credit report every year, so you should check it and just to see what's on there, make sure everything belongs to you. But if you do become a victim of identity theft, you should file a complaint with the FTC. You could go right on their website. It's identitytheft.gov. Right, that's the first stop you should make. And then you should let your credit bureau know and set up a fraud alert. So the fraud alert lets them know that you are a victim of identity theft, and any other credit that's going to be open, they're going to have to do some extra verifications and even call you to let you know to make sure that, in fact, you do want to open up that credit line and then contact your financial institution and close any accounts that you may not have opened yourself. Now, if you are an identity theft victim that had their tax return filed in their name, you might get a IRS notice, so you still need to respond to that IRS notice. And you can call the number that's provided in that notice. And then the IRS has a form. It's a form 14039. It's an identity theft affidavit. So like in my other scenario that I talked about where you don't know you were a victim of identity theft until you actually file your tax returns and it's rejected because the tax return has already been filed, well, even though you can't file the electronically, you still can file a paper return and then attach that form 14039 with the identity theft affidavit, and then you'll be able to file your tax return.
Hmm. So, Will Chung, the Assistant Special Agent in charge at the IRS near field office, let me switch gears. Let me ask you about tax preparation. A couple of years ago, the IRS said that 90% of taxpayers seek help in preparing their returns. I couldn't find any more recent numbers than 2014, 2015, but the tax law has become more complicated since then. And, you know, but are you seeing that 90% plus are going to a CPA or other tax preparer now?
I don't know the numbers, but I know a lot of people do rely on a tax preparer to prepare their tax returns because they don't understand everything that they need to do, and they want to make sure that they have a professional help them. There's also tax softwares. A lot of people do that, and then you can a tax software would just ask you all these questions. And I know they've been advertising on television how easy it is to use the tax software. But if you are looking for a return preparer, there's some advice I can give you. I would say avoid those fly-by-night preparers, like a preparer that just popped up and he's just preparing for the first time, because they might not be there next year in case you get audited. They won't be there to help you. You should also avoid preparers who is going to guarantee that they could give you a larger refund than other preparers. Because basically, if your tax returns are prepared correctly, any preparer should arrive at a very similar number. And also avoid them if they charge you a fee based on the amount of refund that you're going to get. And then you should also ask your preparer if they have a IRS tax identification number, also known as the P-10. And also when you get your tax return, you should make sure that they write their tax identification number on the return as the preparer, and they sign as the preparer. All right, so a lot of people want to avoid that who are doing returns that are fraudulent. Right. And then when you get your tax return, you should check your name, Social Security number, and all the information that's on there, because ultimately, if there is false information on that tax return, you are going to be responsible for it, and you may end up paying back taxes, penalties, and interest. So you should know what you're signing before you sign it.
Good sound advice. Will Chung, Assistant Special Agent in Charge at the Internal Revenue Service, New York Field Office. Will, thanks so much for taking time to chat about identity theft and all these scams and what your sound advice for tax preparation this year. Take care. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.